From the backstretch at Saratoga, this is Loose on the Lead with Steve Bick and Seth Merrill. Loose on the Lead is sponsored by Thoroughgraph, everything you need to win. Visit Thoroughgraph.com. The new Colonial Downs and the Virginia Equine Alliance. Hill and Dale, home of perennial standouts. Curlin, Kitten's Joy, Midnight Luke, and emerging stallions, Violence, Iron, and Army Mule. Visit hillanddalefarms.com for consignments at the 2019 yearling sales. Case Supply, the kitchen and bath professionals across upstate New York. Showrooms in Syracuse, Auburn, and Amsterdam. Make your dream kitchen and bath a reality. Visit casesupplyinc.com. And McMahon of Saratoga, standing breakout stallion, Central Banker. Number one in New York and among the nation's leading young sires. Visit McMahonThoroughbred.com.
Good morning and welcome to Loose on the Lead, live from Saratoga on a Sunday morning. The last couple of Sundays I have been in here solo, but look who's back. Steve Bick, welcome back.
Thanks so much. Great
and
to
now,
be back.
And now I can stop answering questions, because I'll tell you what, on the front side, people miss Steve. I probably 8 or 10 times a day somebody walks up, so what's the latest on Steve? How's Steve? And now you can fill him in.
I can fill you in. I've never experienced anything like this. Right at the beginning of the meet, there was a little obscurity, like my this left eye, and it seemed like there was like a finger kind of like pointing, like coming down above, like from the center. Hey, go to the optician. Oh, you've got tears in your retina. Okay, I said, is that better or worse than a cataract? Guy starts to laugh at me. He says, oh, way worse. Okay. He says, no, you got to go see a retinal specialist. All right. That was 2 weeks ago Friday. I go to the retina specialist, and they say, oh, you've got a detached retina. We have to operate. I said, oh, all right. I said, can we do this after Labor Day? After Labor Day? They said, we'll do it tonight if we can get the operating room. I said, oh, boy. All right. So the next day is when they got us in. I'd never been under anesthesia, ever. We were on, like, 24-hour call. We get to...
I was surprised it was, like, a late-night operation.
Late night. We get there at 7. To Albany. Well, Albany, the eye people are the last. They're last on the list for operating room.
Oh, I hadn't thought about scheduling.
It's amazing, actually. There's 84, I think they said there's 84 operating rooms in the Capital District, with, I think, 40-something at Albany Med. They are literally, the optician, these retinal specialists, they have to call around and beg for operating room space. So we ended up as the last operation at Albany Med that night. Go in at 9. The thing took almost 4 hours, so it's 1 o'clock. Did you ever see Jacob's Ladder, the movie Jacob's Ladder?
Yes.
Honest to God, that's what I felt like, you know, like, what's his name?
Tim Robbins.
Tim Robbins. It was surreal. There was nobody else around. It just Tina and me and, you know, and this team. And the whole thing has been unnerving, because you realize that all of a sudden when you
haven't seen Jacob's Ladder, you don't want to feel your Tim Robbins or Jacob's Ladder.
I can't see, and I won't be able to see out of the eye for a couple of months. And then we'll,
which is unnerving in its own right.
Well,
I would think.
Well, then you realize, okay, you got two of them, you know, kidneys and ears and eyes and a couple of other vital things that have two, but it's this has been an experience. And then you have to lay, they put a they put a, I don't know if anybody, do people want to hear this? They put a bubble. There's a there's like a gas bubble in there to hold the retina in, place. Plus, they put a belt around the eye to reshape it. I mean, this is wow. The whole thing is unbelievable. I mean, once they put that gas bubble in, you have to lay in a certain position for two weeks.
That's what people said. And which sounds torturous.
It is. And I didn't even have to do the worst. The worst one is when they say you lay flat down. You have to lay straight down. I got to lay on my right side. And so at least I could, you know, look a little bit at the phone and the computer and watch some TV. But this has been an experience. Then it took me another, you know, several days to be able to sit upright for any period of time. The whole thing has been just crazy, and it's got to come right in the middle of Saratoga, right? At the same time, though, I got a little lucky because this gas bubble, 2 months, you can't fly. So it's going to have dissipated by the time we have to go out to California for Breeders' Cup. And then I thought to myself, what if this had happened in April? Blow the Triple Crown season coverage and stuff. So I guess, actually, if it was going to happen, July, August might have been not so terrible. And I got to watch a lot of races, laying on my side and so forth. And, you know, basically was able to keep tabs on what was going on. But I appreciate everybody's unbelievably kind comments. Okay. And I got some gift baskets.
Literally every day over there, 8 or 10 people. How's Steve? What's Steve up to? So people missed you.
Well, they've just felt bad that you've had to shoulder this burden alone, and be loose on the lead on your own, which
come in dressed however I wanted, didn't have to worry. And we should tell people this morning how much you admired my tie. And I said, it's probably one of yours. You said, of course it's one of mine. Oh, now I think I want it back.
Well, I call the ties for Sacco tie here. This one I didn't necessarily have, but I've got a couple of new outfits that
I have to
reappropriate some of my clothing. I have to.
That's all in the back seat of my car.
Exactly.
You can go through.
Exactly.
All right, let's touch on some of the topics. We were going to get you by phone last week, and then something came up, but you wanted to touch on some news that came out just prior to that. You were very friendly with Carmen Barrera. I have to admit, I did not really know her at all, but she was a horseman's relation, and you obviously with DT, and you have a horse in today, in fact, but you got to know her very well, so you wanted to talk a little bit about the passing, really the untimely passing of Carmen Barrera, who had worked at NYRA for 40 years, and you lose that kind of institutional memory. Everybody in the facility for a few days afterwards was just shocked and saddened.
Well, we'll show some pictures. Carmen was literally... And I took this picture, and it's particularly sweet because Elise Jacobs is in the back. And, of course, Elise has worked with Carmen for 10 years. And, you know, in addition to being an authentic racetracker, basically born into the game and involved from the first opportunity she had to work, at any capacity, and... with Jean Cruguet and Ronnie Turcott, she was just tireless and efficient and sassy and fun and funny and personable and quick-witted and gracious to everybody. And, there was a point where you could test her patience and she would... draw the line and give you the heave-ho, but the loss of someone like Carmen, it can't even be quantified or understood, because whether you were going to pick up tickets for the day or a box and you were stopping in here or at Aqueduct or Belmont, if you didn't need tickets and you just stopped in at the Horseman's Relations to say hi because you adored Carmen and Elise and the Albertrani sisters, Teal and Noel, who have worked in as interns for years. Not having her there to see it will take forever to get used to, because at the age of 60, it's just not fair. Tina and I went down on Tuesday to the funeral of 300 people at St. Thomas in West Hempstead. And just, we've all been robbed. You know, it seems every summer we lose somebody. Last year was Selma Braithwaite, who wasn't as you know, more of a behind-the-scenes internal institution here. But Carmen was in many ways a face of the Racing Association and people from around the world. She was the first person in a lot of cases when they came to New York to race. She was their contact, and she was the person that they got to know immediately. And she put on a perfect New York you know, kind of continence for everybody. And more than will be missed. Be replaced.
The facility the day after and for a few days after, everybody was
forever
buzzed and saddened and shocked by the situation. All right. I see Michael Dubb is here. You want to head to a break and bring Michael on and then touch on some of the other topics as we
move
on?
Sure. We've got a bunch of things. We got things from Michael, including the BCCA, the Belmont Child Care Association gala coming up. And, of course, Michael having another good meet. He's got all kinds of horses to talk about. Plus, we got some Board of Trustee topics that we always like to talk to Michael Dubb about. You may recall a couple of summers ago when we asked Michael from his construction standpoint what his thoughts were about a Belmont renovation, and what he talked about is going to come to pass. He was absolutely prescient on how things would proceed. Michael Dubb joins us later. Gary Gullo, after Michael, Gary here to pay tribute to his longtime pal, everybody's friend, another tragic loss going back 5 years, Dominic Galluccio. It is Lustgarten Foundation Day here at the track, 11:30 to 12:30. If you're on your way in, you've got the trainer signings by the Jockey Silks Room, and we'll remember Dominic, and then later Mike Welch.
Yeah, should be a good show. So let's take a break. Michael Dubb will join us right after this. Stay tuned.
Recent study of some of the top online wagering sites, Capital OTB won big in total player rewards, far surpassing some of the best-known wagering sites in America. While other rewards programs simply offer you points redeemable for gift cards, Capital OTB's rebates are paid to you in actual cash. Plus, Capital OTB gives you full and immediate access to your money. So if all you're getting now are points and gift cards, join Capital OTB Player Rewards today and get cash back. Visit CapitalOTBBet.com and sign up today.
Welcome back to Loose on the Lead, the return of Steve Bick, but more importantly for this segment, the entrance of Michael Dubb, prominent owner here in New York, and also, as Steve mentioned, Board of Trustees. But we're going to start out the interview talking a little bit about the Anna House Belmont Child Care Association and the good work you do there. And it's a great cause, and coming up this week, your annual fundraiser up here in Saratoga. So we'll touch a little bit on that. Michael, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Happy to have you here. And I pulled up some shots from the website, the Breeders' Cup Child Care, or the Belmont Child Care Association. I pulled up some shots of the kids. And just talk a little bit about the Anna House and Belmont Child Care Association and what work they do and what their mission is.
Well, you know, this started about the turn of the century, late 1999. The idea was children didn't have a place to stay while their parents were toiling at their hard work. So the idea was to build a daycare center, have a safe, nurturing place for them to be. And we've been able to develop a center. Each year we have about 70 kids at all times, and they come in at 6 weeks. And they graduate in cap and gown, prepared and ahead of the curve for school. And while they're there, we teach them computer skills, English, gardening, chess, and even engineering, math. And the children come out so confident and with such a great foundation. I always tell people, I'm a home builder, and you can't build a good home without a foundation. And these kids come out rip-roaring ready. So it's just... It's just an incredible thing. And there are people. These are the future people. So many of them are interested in the backstretch. We've watched them go from, you know, diapers to college at this point, and it's just the greatest thing.
Yeah, you've mentioned it already, but that's one of the important things. It's not just daycare. It's an education. So these kids come out of this program with a head start when they enter school.
Yeah, they really do, and we interact a lot with the local schools, and so we talk to the principals and the superintendents, and they're really thrilled with the program. So, you know, we keep doing that, and besides that, we do after-school program, we do programs for the parents, English speaking. It's a 9,000-foot facility, and, you know, we're always concerned about using it to its highest and best capability. So we open it to the backstretch. We also do parties at Christmas. We have 400 kids. We collect gifts so they can give to their siblings and their parents. And we're always there for the backstretch community.
And I think we have the website address up, so if people want to donate, apart from the gala, and we'll mention that, but also you mentioned the Christmas party. Go at Christmas time and get the information as well. I try to send some gifts every year. I think it's a great thing you do at Christmas time. As you say, you can send gifts, and then the kids come in and they get to pick gifts for their siblings. I think that's a great effort down there.
They do. You know, Libby Imperio, our president, does a phenomenal job. We turn the daycare center into a mini shopping center, and the kids just go crazy picking out things for their siblings and their parents, and it's just so gratifying.
Promo the fundraiser that's coming up this week, because, again, annually it's one of the more popular events up here at Saratoga, and this year out at Saratoga National, and I'm assuming, like previous years, it's a more casual and kind of fun event.
Yeah, we're not a jacket and tie, although you're welcome to wear a jacket and tie. The most important thing is that you come and you participate. So many people support the daycare center over the course of the year. And yes, it is a fundraiser, but it's a little bit of a celebration. We come together, you know, we get to share. People get to take pride in what they've contributed to. And this is a real hands-on thing, because you see the kids and you see the parents, and everybody leaves there feeling really good.
Yeah, it's, again, a great effort down there at Belmont. Game plan is a similar facility up here?
Yeah, we're looking, not quite as big, at doing a facility on the Oklahoma side, about 3,500 square feet. You know, NYRA is struggling right now to attract horsemen, and we can certainly help and do our part by making life a little easier for people who bring their families and want to be with their kids, and that's our goal.
Yeah, I think it's a great effort, and I think it's kind of become a model for the industry.
Yeah, I would like to hope so. I mean, there's nothing more important than taking care of the kids of the people who give so much to our industry.
Absolutely. Steve?
Simultaneously, Michael, we can maybe use that as a partial jumping off point on a topic that hasn't, I don't think, been widely reported as of yet, and that's some of the difficulties that the horsemen are experiencing. We already know that a labor shortage, enough of a problem, not just in New York, but nationwide when it comes to the horsemen's support. But the labor board and their, at this point, hyper-aggressive
yes.
attacks on horsemen here. We understand Dallas Stewart has packed up and left the backstretch and taken his horses back to Kentucky. You've got several barns that are you know, going to be, you know, we already know about the high-profile cases. Steve Asmussen and Chad Brown have been just really harassed at this point. Mm-hmm. Gary Siaka, Linda Rice, George Weaver, John Toscano. The circumstance, and I suppose Joe Applebaum is as much a guy to talk to about this as anybody. What's your take? You deal with state agencies in your construction business constantly. What do we do domestically and specifically in New York to stem this?
Look, I don't want to digress from talking about racing, but I run a large development and construction business in the state of New York, and I constantly tell people the easiest thing I do is build, the hardest thing I do is government. Dealing with the numerous government agencies, and we're feeling it, and in the horse racing industry, we're feeling picked on, but I can tell you it's not limited to this industry. Now, you take that and you look at our workers' comp rates that are more than double other states like New Jersey and Kentucky and Florida. You take our minimum wage laws and everything else. It's very, very hard for our horsemen to survive. I have spoken vehemently that we need to create a system to assist our trainers. Our trainers are really guys who produce a show. And we're all in this together. And, you know, we, meaning NYRA, is acutely aware of the issues and the problems. We can't control state government, but we can deal with it the best we can. And we have to assist our trainers in any way we can. Now, Joe Applebaum, Martin Panza, they've done a Herculean job on the workers' comp issue. But there's so much more. But our problem is we play in a national arena, and horsemen have a choice. And we still put on the best product in the country, but every single day it's a battle. It's a battle for the horsemen. It's a battle for NYRA. It's just a battle, and you articulated it very, very well. But I will tell you that NYRA as a board is acutely aware of the struggles the horsemen face, and believe it or not, sympathetic to it and want to help.
Sure. Couple of other topics while we've got you. I think it was, if not last summer, it might have been the summer before, we asked you about the planning, what you would do as a builder with Belmont as a building and as a you know, an opportunity to kind of reinvent Belmont for, you know, the next century. And the various I-dotting and T-crossing that's gone on while we've been upstate. Literally, the week that Saratoga opened, basically things were set to move forward with the arena, with the hockey arena, and the groundbreaking is starting to take shape, and the next layer is going to be the redevelopment of Belmont. You predicted, I said to you, what would you do? Would you raise the building or would you gut it? You said gut it, and that appears to be the right answer. Talk about where the board stands and David O'Rourke and you know, the planning that is going to go into you know, the next half century of racing downstate.
Well, those are great questions. So Belmont Park, that building built in the 1950s, is 1 million square feet. Now, in the 1950s, there was no competition for horse racing. Horse racing was literally the only form of gambling. It was a huge entertainment vehicle. So the challenge here is, what do you do with 1 million square feet? Is 1 million square feet of building viable? So one of the debates that we will be having is, do we literally make the building smaller? Do we find ways to repurpose it? Now, you know, when you go to arenas around the country, they're different than they were 25 years ago. You know, you go to a sporting arena. we have in mind to make Belmont in this century a place that people want to come to, find it fun to come to, not a place that has big hallowed halls except for Belmont Stakes Day. So that is the challenge. I will tell you, there is no plan set in stone yet. There is still a debate going on amongst the consultants and the experts of do we and how do we repurpose 1 million square feet, or do we literally make the building smaller and work within that? But the goal is to make it a desirable place to bring families, to develop new fans, to make the whole area, you know, something people come to. What that will encompass, will it encompass other forms of entertainment? Well, I guess the arena is a form of entertainment, but will it encompass retail? Will it encompass restaurants? I can't specifically answer those questions right now because they're not set in stone. But these are what we're debating, and these are the debates we're having right now.
Well, and virtually all of the support mechanisms that I think NYRA and racing interests could have hoped for have all those ducks have fallen into a row, including the Long Island Railroad and their addition of a full-time Elmont train station, which really kind of came as a little bit of a surprise that they had resisted it. And regular train service has got to be a positive for whatever direction the rest of the building takes. David O'Rourke, Belmont Week, suggested there could be office space in there. And if there's regular train service, it suddenly the whole plant, not just for the hockey nights and the concerts and the conventions, but virtually 364 days a year, you're going to have a very active kind of an anthill going on the plant.
Well, let's just talk Nassau-Suffolk. There's 3 million people in Nassau-Suffolk who could never get to Belmont any other way but by motor vehicle, who can now get there by train. And understand this, young people on Long Island do take the train. They take it around Long Island, and I believe they'll take it to Belmont. And one thing I can tell you, come to Saratoga and you see so many young people experience the beauty of horse racing. We need to get that done downstate. We need to get that done to develop a new fan base. It's a tremendous challenge in light of, as you said before, how difficult government makes our operations day in and day out. And in terms of competition for, you know, for dollars, for entertainment dollars, especially downstate.
Before we let you go, let's talk some horse racing. Again, one of the more prominent owners in New York. I just want to go back a few days, take a look at a nice maiden winner you had in a debut effort. The number three horse here is going to be British Idiom. It's always nice to have a live little two-year-old coming out of Saratoga. What did you think of this performance, again, just a few days ago from British Idiom, and any plans for that one going forward?
Well, you know, it's the same connections as Monomoy Girl, same partnership, same trainer. This was an auction maiden, meaning this was not a claiming race, but all of the horses in here were purchased for under $50,000. Obviously, we did a nice job dominating this field. I will leave to my trainer where we go next with this horse. Actually, Brad just got into town yesterday, and my next stop was to go see him. So I wish I could give you more specifics.
That was a good look at debut.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite horses I have to bring up and see if we can get an update. We're going to go back and look at the Jiper, which grade one on the turf, a little bit earlier in the year, grade one on the dirt for World of Trouble. And, of course, World of Trouble on the sidelines a little bit was pointed to the Troy up here and didn't make that race. So, again, I just wanted – and we're watching the Jiper, World of Trouble, the number eight horse, putting a grade one on the turf on the resume again after the grade one on the dirt earlier this year. As I say, one of my favorite horses. What's the update on World of Trouble?
Well, he's had a foot issue. It's not a long-term issue. You know, up here at Saratoga, everybody's busy. The horses move around, and unfortunately, one of the more common injuries here are just feet issues. So we think he'll be, you know, we're hopeful to make the Breeders' Cup. That would be our goal this year. And World of Trouble will race again as a five-year-old also. Now, that being said, a breeding deal has been made with Hillendale. And Hillendale stands Canthros. This is a son of Canthros. And I'm really looking forward to the – I'm not a breeder, per se. I breed a little, but I'm looking forward to the world of trouble babies.
Well, you couldn't be in better hands than with John Sakura.
That's correct.
Absolutely will parlay world of trouble into a success at stud. And, you know, there is one sidebar to this whole Breeders' Cup decision situation. The original Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint coming down the hill, the 6.5, that has been nixed. They're going to go the 5.
That's correct.
And instead, they're so concerned about crossing over. And how did that sit with you and Jason?
Well, you know, we feel World of Trouble is at his best up to 7 furlongs. That being said, the downhill course is a new course. You know, you're running downhill, you're crossing dirt. Sometimes that horse, that race can be won by
Milers
cutting back to 6.5. I remember the, don't remember the name, but the Ramsey horse that closed like crazy to win that race was really a Miler about 5 years ago.
Yeah, so Bobby's Kitten.
Bobby's Kitten, very good. That's great, yeah.
Well, the one thing that's happening with World of Trouble, you know, kind of treading water right now, Stormy Liberal got beat yesterday at Del Mar in the Green Flash. A tremendous performance by Mr. Vargas, Samantha Siegel.
Yeah.
I think she was as surprised as anybody, although it took plenty of money. The top 3 finishers from that Green Flash yesterday all certainly will reassemble when we get to, including Eddie Haskell from Mark Glatt. The Turf Sprint division, that's been one of the best additions to the Breeders' Cup of the new races that were instituted over the last 15 years. It really is made for a fun, you know, for a fun extra race.
Yeah, and we have to go play on their home field. Nobody's better than Sam Siegel, so,
happy
I'm thrilled for
her always.
Yeah.
World of Trouble, though, again, one of my favorites, just about phenomenal. Michael, we'll let you go, but again, we'll remind people once again, coming up Thursday, Saratoga National Breeders' Cup Child Care Association Gala.
Belmont Child Care. Thank you so much.
I keep saying Breeders' Cup. I see
BC.
BC.
You got a mental block.
Belmont Child Care Association, the Anna House. Again, keep that in mind on Thursday. It's a great event for a great organization. Michael, appreciate the visit.
Thank you so much for having me. It's really a pleasure.
All right, we'll take a break. I saw Gary Gullo out in our green room. He's going to talk a little bit about his friend Dominic Galluccio. The Lustgarten Foundation gets some charity work today. My brother passed away earlier this year from pancreatic cancer, so I'm going to jump in and participate a little bit. Maybe go out and get some autographs myself out at the Jockey Silk Room. Stay tuned. All of that coming up right after this.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
You like free money? Well, Capital OTB gives its players plenty of opportunities to cash in. At Capital OTB, there are so many ways for horse players to receive bonus dollars by simply participating in promotions such as our bankrolls, bounty bets, online handicapping contests, and much, much more. Plus, with Capital OTB's player rewards program, you get actual cash back. So what are you waiting for? Log on today at CapitalOTB.com or CapitalOTBBet.com and claim your free money.
We're back at Loose on the Lead as the camera team grapples.
Look for the red light.
Yeah, look for the red light, exactly. I was trusting my judgment. We're absolutely happy, even under these circumstances, to have Gary Gullo join us. It is, again, the Sunday of the Lustgarten Foundation fundraiser where we all take a time out and remember Dominic Galluzio. And it's 5 years already, Gary, and everybody misses him every day.
Yeah, yeah. When, especially when you come up here, you know. You're kind of like your...
Always. Exactly.
Kind of reminds
me. Exactly.
Yep. Got the purple, had the yellow, had all different kinds. It was crazy. You know, I see it, you know, like I was in the paddock the other day, and I just... nobody has that. I mean, you would think somebody would be wearing something like that or something like that, you know, so... It's,
there's a couple guys... Kelly Breen has got a little flair.
Kelly's always,
he's got a little, but that's the hat. Yeah. Reed Baker, before he retired, he, you know, would have the hat.
Yeah.
You get, but not like, when it came to the flash, Dominic was second to none. And that was, you know, that was something that everybody saw widely. You being one of his closest friends and the people that got close to him. I told this story, I think I've told it almost every year. I don't know if I've said it on TV. I don't know if I told you this story. When the word came that Dominic was gone, I got a text honoring him, kind of a group text, and it came from Gary Young in California, the bloodstock agent and longtime clocker. And I thought to myself, how would Gary know Dominic? And so I
he went out there. He went out
one summer.
Right. Yeah, he went out
as
there
an exercise rider.
Yeah, he was like 18 years old.
18 years old.
Right.
Dominic exercise riding.
Yeah.
Roommates with Gary Young that summer at Del Mar.
Yeah.
5 weeks, 6 weeks, and they were friends from that day forward.
Yeah.
Which tells you a lot about Dominic, and Gary was as broken up as anybody was.
Yeah.
And said, you know, whenever they would be in the same place, whether a sale or you know, had opportunity to run a horse, and or Gary would come east, everybody that was close just adored him.
Yeah. Yeah. He was a great guy, really.
And horseman.
Very good trainer. Just to bust his chops a little bit about that, but, you know, he won 1,000 races.
A thousand races.
That's pretty good.
Do we have that photo with at Aqueduct with Gary and Dominic holding up the 1,000 race sign?
Yeah, I have that actually on my Facebook thing. I have that. It's it was nice. It was a great day. It was in the winter. It was really nobody around.
No.
I said, I got to go out there with him. You know, I ran out there. So, but he's definitely missed. He was a great guy. It's just. It was a sad thing. You know, we're having a signing today, which is donations all go to Lusgarden, which they're trying to, you know, it's a great cause. It's trying to find out about pancreatic cancer, detection before it's, you know, too late, you know. But, you know, that helps. All the trainers get together and signing. So... that's the number there.
There's
right,
some information. Yeah. The Lusgarden organization is remarkable. Every single cent. There's no administration costs. There's no staff payroll. Every dollar that's raised specifically goes toward research and developing preventive and cure and everything.
Yeah.
And that frankly, in the fundraising arena, it's unusual that you know, people wonder how much of the money is actually going to the work. 100%, because the whole establishment of the Lusgarden Foundation, the administrative side is taken care of by a grant that in perpetuity.
Right.
And so they're free to raise money for nothing but figuring this out. And Seth, I wasn't aware that it claimed your brother.
Yeah, he actually, for a couple of years, and usually it's more insidious than that, Mike Jarbo, our friend from the Times Union, who did some work for Capital OTB a couple of years ago, he had it for about a year and passed away. So it comes, it is insidious. And again, they do great work with the research. That all today all plays into that, and you mentioned at the top the signing up by the Jock Silks Room, 11:30 to 12:30 today, trainer signing. So bring your autograph book. First couple hundred people are going to get a commemorative poster that they can have signed, but you give a donation there, or check out the website, and if you can't make it up to the track, donate, because again, it's a very insidious disease, and the more research and the better we can get in treating and preventing it, the better off we are.
Well, and that's what was so stunning about this. I mean, Dominic had the heart, he had that little heart ailment and had the stent put in, went on vacation with Bobby Barbera.
Well, he went on vacation first with Bobby and Sal from the Jocks Room Now. They went down to Dominican Republic, came back. He said he had a little pains in his chest, so I brought him to the cardiologist. They put a stent in, thought everything was fine. A couple of days later, had stomach issues, and just kind of brought him into the hospital, and just one thing led to another. And then 3 weeks later, it was gone.
It was a quick thing.
But this Les Garden Foundation is something that would detect this thing earlier on. I mean, it's something good. My daughter, Maria, kind of found this, and this is how things kind of started.
Connected.
Because, you know, like you said, with the a lot of these places that they take, you know, they only 50% of it goes, but this is 100% of any donation. If $10 you donate, it's $10 going towards that. So,
which is
a great thing.
Steve, as you said, that's not usually how it works, but they do have that foundation, the grant that takes care of all the administrative costs. So again, keep that in mind for today with the Jack signing. Go to the website and donate that way. Gary, before we let you go, though, wanted to talk some horse racing because you had a nice maiden winner earlier in the meet. We're going to take a look at number 5, Big Q. This goes back literally to the beginning of the meet. Big Q, nice win here, the number 5. Subsequently, off the board with another of yours in the Adirondack, but I'm just wondering, coming out of the Adirondack, what were your thoughts on Big Q? Again, we're going to watch the Maiden Breaker, which was a debut effort earlier in the meet. What were your thoughts coming out of the Adirondack, and what's up next for Big Q and what little Pepina, Miss Pepina
Miss
as well?
Pepina. Well, I got Big Q. I entered her today for Friday. It is a little New York bred stake. She actually ran a pretty good race in the Adirondack. She got squeezed on the rail. She looked like she was going to make a run. I don't think she was going to win, but she could have been closer. But those horses are a little, you know, they seem to be better anyway. But, you know, she ran good. I thought she won relatively nicely. The horse that was second, maybe another couple of jumps might have nailed her. You know, I think she'll do well in the New York bred company.
So we'll look for that one Friday. What about Miss Pepina?
Friday. Miss Pepina, I was thinking about running her back in a spin away.
Oh, okay.
She ran good also. Yeah. I think she, you know, she. It's hard for a two-year-old, I believe, that, you know, they break in front and they go an eighth of a mile in front and then he takes her back and then goes wide and she didn't really have that punch that she needed, but she only got beat two lengths in there. So, you know, we'll see how things go.
Very good. Steve, anything else?
Well, I want to find out about Manage My Credit coming up later in the week.
Well, you know what? She's okay. She's, you know, I think she'll run good. She's only also eligible, so we need a scratch. But she's all right. She's kind of average, I would think. You know, she might need a race.
How about the allowance? Bustin' Hoffman, one of the funnier Bustin' Stones named horses.
Bustin' Hoffman is, he's got a good post. I like him on the outside. The only thing, it looks a little bit tougher race. I don't know if he's that good.
Weather this week, by the way, you can see.
I got another horse in, too.
Who else? Rejected again.
Yeah, that one looks good.
He's an easy read. Yeah. You want to play poker with him, not with Kieran McLaughlin.
That's true. He's sharp, Kieran.
Right? I love it.
All right. Gary, we appreciate the visit. And again, taking the time to talk a little bit about your buddy Dominic Lucio on a day where we're going to honor him and the Les Garden Foundation again.
Guy who knew how to have fun.
Yes, he did. Johnny Walker Blue.
Gary, again, appreciate the visit.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right, we'll take a break. Mike Welch out in our green room now. We'll cover some of the stakes action from yesterday and more. Stay tuned.
It's been home to some of the sport's biggest moments, monumental achievements, and extraordinary records. At Santa Anita, we'll set another before the first gate even opens, as the Breeders' Cup returns for a record 10th time. This November, the stars will shine, champions will be crowned, and when the unbelievable happens, you'll want to be there to see it. The Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Visit Rivers Casino and Resort, the Capital Region's only destination for live table game action and the hottest new slots paying out millions. And they're off. Horse betting is now at Rivers Casino and Resort with Capital off-track betting terminals and live tellers located just off the gaming floor at Van Slick's. Get in on all the action at Rivers Casino and Resort.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Welcome back to Loose on the Lead. Happy to be joined now by our friend Mike Welch from the Daily Racing Forum. We'll talk a little stakes action from yesterday and more. Good morning.
Good morning.
What were your impressions just overall before we talk specifics? With the weather got a little crazy. I was the bottom floor of the clubhouse. The place was a buzz as the dead heat got decided. Then we moved into the Alabama.
I mean, it was really a crazy 45 minutes to an hour. I said to Chad after the race, you didn't think it'd get any crazier than the last time you ran these two fillies in a race where you had all three horses. But here you go and have this situation come up. And then, you know, after that race ended, he was concerned that they might even cancel and not run the Alabama. And, I asked him, I said, what would you prefer? I mean, he said, I'd rather run on a fast track. But then it would become an issue of, you know, can I work tomorrow if we have to run next week? And I think he, of course, obviously turned out just perfect for him.
Sure.
But, it was quite a race, obviously. I mean, not only was there a dead heat, but the third horse, Chad, was only a head or a neck back. And, then you couldn't quite tell looking at the photo. I think Chad absolutely thought he won. But he understood that if you can't, make out where the noses were, you had to do what they did, and probably was the right choice under the circumstances. The one thing that surprises me, though, is there's no light on the finish line here for the photo finish camera.
Oh, we can show the photo.
We'll discuss this, and I'll explain what's going on with this, because I kind of reached out today for a couple of thoughts, and here's the photo. The only place that there are lights on all courses is at Aqueduct, because of the winter timing and because just naturally the assumption here is you would not get into a situation.
Yeah, they can pull up because I called an earlier race, so you can see a comparison what you normally would get from a photo from an earlier race. It's no pun intended, night and day.
Now, when you look at the two horses in the photo, it clearly looks like Graham's horse. It herself was
by the jockey
easily in front of the other horse, but obviously, you know, the noses are different, heads are down and up, and you really can't tell. And I think the stewards just ultimately decided to be fair to the public. They had to make it a dead heat. But, this isn't the first time, though, we've had rain and, you run in the race a little late, but then you get the clouds and it can get quite dark here, because of the storms they get during the summertime. So I'm surprised this issue hasn't happened before. Maybe it has, but in a lesser race where you're not paying as much, a lesser profile race, and you're not paying as much attention.
Well, the notable, of course, that may... Because we watched it a lot with the passing of Mary Lou, but the Birdstone win in the Traverse. On the main track, there are the lights.
On the main track, this is 5:26 post time, and in the summer, just by the where the sun is and the planet is, you just...
Assume it's not going to be an
issue.
You're
just not going to get an issue like that. I know people are aghast and carrying on. It feels like the explanation was... The fairest scenario.
Even when I spoke to Chad, I mean, the first couple of minutes after he came into the out of the rain and he and Graham were talking a little bit, I think he was a little upset because he really thought he won. And then the more he thought about it, he realized that,
And so did Graham.
This is true. This is the fairest, if they really can't see, you got to do it this way. So And, of course, a half hour later, he probably wasn't even thinking about that anymore after he won the Alabama. And then a few hours later.
Cavalier Park wins. Right. The Delmar Oaks.
Wasn't such a bad day after all.
Why don't we take a look at the Alabama stretch run of the Alabama yesterday. Dunbar Oaks, the number one horse, Point of Honor, number seven, Street Band, number five. I kind of kicked myself that I didn't jump in for the exact a little bit better, $15.80 for what looked to me like the two logical horses. I had them flip-flopped. I put Point of Honor on top, but Dunbar Road, again, the number one horse, looked pretty good. Chart margin of 2 3/4 lengths.
I mean, the problem when you're handicapped this and think these are the two best horses, that's on a fast track. You know, the conditions really changed here. You don't know what to expect besides the slop. You know, we've seen this track, you know, change to the point where the rail, you know, is not so good sometimes after it rains like this. And these two horses did come outside. And maybe that was the case. It's hard to say. And we're going to watch close today and see how the inside plays early in the dirt races. And there are a lot of dirt races today, too. So we've had some issues here as far as the inside being dead on the main track. So that could be something people would want to watch today. But, you know, take nothing away from the winner there. She was magnificent, and now it gives Chad a pretty good 1-2 punch in that category, in many categories, but that one, to say the least, with Karana.
It seems like they're the two at the top of the three-year-old. It seems like it's going to be a slugfest between those two for the honors.
Absolutely.
This was a masterful job by Jose Ortiz, too, to make a decision early, coming out of the gate when there were a couple different horses kind of grappling early and you know, what he was trying to decide, you know, do I go on with it? Instead, he eases back and lets really three horses, you know, kind of vie early and onto the backstretch, and then cleverly, you know, kicks outside and you know, knew what he had the entire way around. The figures come back, a 94 buyer for her, Dunbar Road. And, you know, the only real question, of course, was the two-turn and getting, you know, out to a distance like this, a mile and a quarter, a quality road out of a Bernardini mare, and she immediately becomes a major player toward the fall, and we'll see who, you know, who goes and what, the Beldame and the Spinster. And
I'm sure he'll keep him apart as best he can until the Breeders' Cup. And, you know, that's a situation he has in a lot of different divisions. We've seen this, you know, he's run several in the major turf races for boys, three-row filly division now. These two fillies that ran 1-3 yesterday have been with each other. Now he wins the one out on the West Coast as well. So, you know, you walk down that shed row, it's just one star after another. And in the Chad Brown barn over there at Oklahoma.
Let's take a look at the Lake Placid, and again, watch that ding-dong finish. I like Blowout to kind of switch things up yesterday, and I thought she ran a great race. Blowout's going to be the number four horse and kind of seems to get past and then comes back and really look good. 50 yards from the wire, but Regal Glory and Varenka both make late moves, and they go ding-dong, and again, standing in the bottom floor of the clubhouse as they showed this replay over and over while the stewards looked at the photo. The crowd, it was one of those, oh, every time, the roar. It's a heads up and down, heads up and down. Ding dong finish there. And again, because of the photo, they eventually go out dead heat with Varenka and Regal Glory. And as you noted, only a neck back blowout.
Yeah, Chad did not want Blowout on the lead. He was thinking that the two horse with Tyler was going to go to the front. She'd be able to sit off it. She inherited the lead, but she got set a slow pace. So she had some horse left, dug in there at the end, like you say. Although he told me after the race, I don't know if you read his comments, the quotes he gave me, that Jose's initial reaction was when the wind picked up during the race, she's on the lead with no cover. The wind affected her the most. He said he had a little trouble steering her on the turn. He felt, at least that's what he told Chad right after the race, it might have cost his mount a couple of lanes, which obviously would have been the difference between winning and finishing third. So she ran, you know, well, as well. And like he and I had discussed going into the race, there's not much separating Blowout and Regal Glory. And you can see that from the last two times they've run. The trip is usually the deciding factor in these kind of races. And probably every time they meet, the trip will be the deciding factor because they're so closely matched.
Yeah, the weather was funky. I mean, it didn't really start to come down until after the race was over. But the wind did kick up. And at the middle of the race, I thought looking at the video, it had started raining out, but it wasn't. But I looked back behind me, it was raining behind the clubhouse, so it was a fluky kind of a situation.
Yeah, it really was a weird dynamic for that race, and then leading up to the Alabama, of course, the surface change. It reminds you of the Whitney last year. All of a sudden, that rain came up, and
that's right.
Just changes everything, you know. And people, you know, batting the pick fives and the pick sixes, and at the time they're batting him, there's no thought that you're going to be catching a sloppy track for the last two. So, you know, nothing you can do about the weather, unfortunately, and you can even watch the forecast, and sometimes around here, a lot of times around here, it's tough to predict what you're going to get, but things can change in an instant when it comes to track conditions here.
Speaking of, you know, trying to anticipate things, one of the toughest areas, Mike, all meet has been the two-year-old equations and figuring out, you know, who is live. We had an interesting maiden group go yesterday, 6.5 furlongs, a highly anticipated debut by Candy Tycoon. And I want, if you guys have in the booth, if you've got the comment for American Butterfly, I want to bring this up because I want people to understand the nuance. And you and I discuss this all the time whenever you visit us every summer. Reading the Clocker report. Now, there's Dunbar Road, but if you could, you put everything's kind of chopped into this at once, including Andy Harrington. The American Butterfly comment is what we need. The Dunbar Road had been just a series of absolute raves.
Right.
I mean, B+, 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 B+. But it goes beyond the grade. You cannot just look at the grade and say, oh, this one got a B, that one got a B-, and I'm going to go with the B. That's not the way this works. You have to read. And I thought the comment, the reason I include an American Butterfly, you know, had to pick American Butterfly third in that race because Candy Tycoon and Irish Mias both were more likely winners. However, your comment was about American Butterfly, rider up in the irons, earns the bullet without much ask. And
that was Donald Harris.
It doesn't matter. The whole team, okay. It's a collective effort when it comes to the Clocker report. But you've got to read the comment and be able to then incorporate it into your general handicapping principles. This was a second-time starter, a horse that obviously was well-bred, the American Pharoah, and it just felt like this was a horse making a second start that had to be considered. And for me personally, including him in the multis and picking him third, it ended up being very fruitful.
And if you read the comments on Candy Tycoon, very subtly in the gateworks, I think
both gateworks, we
mentioned how he hesitated a little bit coming out of the gate. Now, he was so quick, though, and of course, with only one other horse in the gate, you're not going to get blocked like he did yesterday if you don't break real sharp. He was just shot away. But yesterday, I don't know if it was him hesitating a little. I think he got kind of pinched and knocked around a bit. But then he got in behind all that traffic, got a lot of dirt in his face, and it was just the rider had nowhere to go. But those things, you know, that's what happens in these races, especially with first-time starters. You break bad in those races, anything can happen.
Well, and you know, later in the day, there were two important maiden special weight races yesterday on both coasts. And the race, the sixth at Del Mar, the Andy Harrington comment that was there from National Turf. And I bring this up, and you know, frankly, it's a little self-serving because I picked Ginobili, and we had talked to Richard Baltus on the radio about 6 weeks ago, and he said Ginobili was one of his horses for Del Mar. The horse debuted, was second choice, did not run well in his debut. Horses making their first start, usually forgivable, and the biggest improvement you see in horses come in a second, typically in their second career start. Well, here was Ginobili running against a pair of big Baffert types, and he ends up going off at 19-1. Andy Harrington had raved about how he came out of his first, you know, a race that he would have gotten a lot out of. These are anatomies of how you win. And okay, you have to spend an extra $10 for the Clocker report, for DRF or for National Turf, but that $10 is made up very quickly. And on a card like yesterday, this was not your only positive impact. There was a horse that ran big I forget who it is, but you had a horse run second at a big price that had all kinds of positive comments. I'm drawing a blank on who it was.
I am too. I'm already on Wednesday. So
exactly. You're down the road. But this is how you win and how you offset the takeout. You have to do a little extra work, and you've got to kind of figure things out. Higher Power yesterday, 9-1 in the Pacific Classic. Another horse that was working lights out,
John Sadler is now working horses the way Baffert does. He's got horses working 6 furlongs on paper, galloping out 7 and a mile. And I thought Higher Power yesterday was a key horse. And sure enough, he destroyed the Pacific Classic.
He absolutely did. And I didn't see the reports, and I didn't see what they had on the other members of the field. So, you know, sometimes that comes into play. You get 3 or 4 that are training good. It becomes a bit of a conundrum,
sure,
from at least a workout standpoint, not to mention the handicapping part of it and the figures part and everything else that goes into it, pace scenario. But, I think we've had a pretty good meet with our stuff. I know we have a report out in the West Coast, too. Andy Harrington does a terrific job. We have Toby Terrell out there, and we've got a report as well out of Del Mar and Santa Anita, too. So, you know, get a chance. Take a look at that if you're playing Del Mar one day, the DRF Del Mar report.
How about some upcoming? Want to talk a little bit about Travers Weekend?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting dynamic here. The Travers, at least from a workout standpoint, we've seen a few on the main track. We've had a few over in Oklahoma. There's a bunch that we haven't seen at all. From the ones I've seen on the main track, although Tax was very, very good here. In his final work the other day, he took some dirt, he came up the rail, finished strong. He's a much different horse watching him train here than when he trained at Belmont going into the Belmont Stakes, like night and day. And he couldn't be doing...
He had the hoof issue too.
He had some problems there, yeah, obviously. But whatever they did, whatever kind of shoeing they did to correct that problem, his work, you know, he ran super in his last race, obviously, and he's coming out of it. He looks great. I mean, you got to like the way he's coming into the race. I thought Highest Honors has been very good on a weekly basis over here for Chad. I really liked what I've seen with him. He looks like he's sitting on a big race. On the other side, you have Code of Honor. You have Tacitus. Tacitus, I haven't seen him. You know, I've got Donald over there. I haven't seen him over here. But, you know, I was talking to the guys over there. It's just like with Tacitus, what you see is what you get. I mean, he's very good and steady worker every time. You pretty much get the same thing out of him. He put the blinkers on yesterday. I'm not so sure from the reports I get whether it, you know, made a big difference, but, you know, he seems to be doing well coming into the race. I talked to Shug before I came over here. He's very pleased with Code of Honor. So this is going to be a terrific race. I mean, the one element now that's going to enter into it, it's going to be an 11 or 12 horse field. So post position and that run to the first turn, you know, with a 7-8 horse field, not as much of a difference, but you got a dozen in there if it comes to that. I think we have 11 definite, and spinoff is a question mark.
Owendale isn't in town?
He's not in town, no. I think he's having his final work at Churchill tomorrow. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of nervous faces at the post position draw on Tuesday if this 11-12 horse field holds up.
Mike, I want to ask you about a horse that I've got great affection for. Laughing Fox never really had a chance in the Jim Dandy. Smallish field, didn't get a lot of pace. What have we seen since the Jim Dandy from him?
Well, he's on the other side, okay, too, so I haven't seen him. I'll know as much about him when I get the report from Donald. So I've seen him on the main track gallop a couple of times. Looks good, as all Steve horses usually do. And like I said, it's a really wide open race. You almost demand to take some value in there because I think you've got at least 5 or 6, if not more, when I finally sit down to handicap the race after they draw the post. But you'll have a lot of live contenders to choose from.
How about Endorsed? Let's might as well touch on the other horses that are local. And well, of course, Endorsed is over here at Green Tree, so you don't get to see.
No, he worked on the main track the other day. He looked good. I know, I think Dave Grenning talked to Ron Anderson, who's Rosario's agent, asking if maybe he was going to, I think, Highest Honors. He had a possible chance to get a Highest Honors, and he says, I'm happy with where I'm at. So that's a lot of confidence there coming from the rider. He worked in over here the other, I think it was yesterday or Friday, I can't remember which now.
How about, you know, for those that haven't followed this, the story with Stanley Huff and Sagamore, Scars Are Cool and Global Campaign. Global is not coming, but Scars Are Cool, who had that very nice allowance win going back a couple of weeks, and this will be, an outsider on paper and on the tote board. Anything to report?
For him to run him in here, you know, Stanley's got to be, you know, pretty high on him, obviously. He would have preferred to have a Global Campaign. There's some kind of an issue there where I think I just read that he may be done for the season, which is really a shame. He's had, I think, foot issues with with him all along. But, you know, Scars are cool, likes the track. He's coming off a big win, but it's a huge jump, you know, from where what he's been running against to this spot. But, you know, if things break right, he's doing well, he likes the track, why not?
Going to ask you about one horse in the Ballerina, because without prompting, every so often when you get into a big weekend, there's a horse or two or three that just has got this bloom around them, and everybody's talking about it. Come Dancing apparently is got like a glow around her every time she goes out to work. I've never seen a horse get talked about during one meet the way she's being talked about.
The one thing about Come Dancing, though, from if you recall from last year's report, she's been a terrific workhorse all along. I mean, I know all the clockers bet on her the first time she, you know, in her maiden win, because she had worked so well going in, and she's continued to do that. But you know, she's really eye-catching here the last couple of works. She worked out of the gate last week. I think it's going to be an A-minus work when the grades come out for that. She couldn't be doing any better. She worked on the dirt the other day. It was a 3/8 blowout. She just kept going and going and going.
I heard.
Full of energy. Just love to see that in the filly. So, you know, interesting to see how the pace scenario will work out for her, if she's going to get challenged by somebody or if she might be able to get loose on the lead. You know, but she couldn't be doing any better.
Do you have a working list for the Ballerina, or just
the
ones you're covering?
Okay. Yeah, I do not.
All right. Well, we'll worry about that as the week goes on. Anything to help us with today? You know, people should be aware we've got what, almost $500,000 in the Empire Six.
438.
The only day to play it is on distribution day. Today is a distribution day. All the races that have been scheduled on the turf for the sequence are now off the turf. The only turf race today will be the fourth. The filly and mare allowance on the inner going a mile, but then the Empire Six starts with race five, and so races 7, 8, and 10 are off the turf. So the whole sequence is on the main track.
Yeah, I really have to go back and look and wait for, I was waiting for scratches to go back and see. In the Summer Colony, though, which is a mile and an eighth on the turf, Pacific Wind has looked great for Chad, got the inside post. Blue Prize, I haven't seen, obviously, but, you know, her form speaks for itself. And Vexatious, I thought, here's an interesting horse who's been doing all the running on the turf. She has won and run well in the dirt before. And her one dirt work here that I saw on August 11th was really good. This is a filly who galloped out, one of those very good gallop outs, full of energy. So I think she's a live horse in there, too. Is she good enough to beat Pacific Wind and Blue Prize going turf to dirt in here? It's hard to say, but I think she's going to give a good account of herself.
There you go.
All right. Wrap it up.
We can wrap it up. I haven't been around to give you Monday and Tuesday suggestions, but I've got one for tomorrow and Tuesday. Brian, Washington County Fair, and there is no better way to spend a dark day. There it is. It's all there. The baby animals, the racing pigs. Everything you could want. One of the oldest county fairs in the country, the Washington County Fair. You just take 29, take Lake Avenue all the way out, past Schuylerville, then go over the Hudson at the top of the hill. There it is, the county fairgrounds. You will have a riot. How about some maple cotton candy?
Sounds good.
Harkens me back to my fair days, except my
racing.
Fair days, it was racing. Yeah, you got to bet and eat the cotton candy and the sausage sandwiches and the whole deal. But you know, no more of that anymore, unfortunately.
Well, we're still holding out hope that the Great Barrington deal comes together. But come out to Greenwich, everybody. You got tomorrow and Tuesday. I know the weather is not going to be great the early part of the week. The next few days, you're going to have some off and on rain after we've had a great three-week run without any inclement weather. But there's your Monday and Tuesday things to do during the dark day.
I'll tell you a thing to do tomorrow, too, if the weather holds. There's going to be turf works over at Oklahoma around 10 o'clock. And if you haven't been out,
nice.
Fans are welcome to come
nice.
By. I guess, maybe on a dark day, I don't know if you're not allowed in. I mean, of course, on, you know, when they have the turf works on racing days, that parking lot's open and anybody can come in there. I'm not sure what the situation is on Monday, but we're holding our breath that we get the turf works in tomorrow, because if we don't, we have to go a full week without turf works. It's going to be a real circus out there when they start back next week on the grass. But they were scheduled today, obviously, came off. I think they'll have the works tomorrow if we don't get any more rain. So big if, though.
That's a fun idea for people. 10 o'clock? Forks?
Yeah, quarter to 10, actually, they have the specials, they call them, the horses, the stake horses that work inside the cones, and then from 10 to about 10:45, 10:50, they have the regular group going outside the cones. But if you've never seen them, you know, you can get up pretty close and personal with them, and it's just kind of a fun thing to do if you've never done it before.
And again, turf works are across the street
at Oklahoma.
So keep that in mind. All right, we'll wrap things up. Mike, appreciate the visit, as always.
My pleasure.
And Steve? Good to have you back.
Good to see you back. Absolutely.
I appreciate it. Thanks again to everybody who's been so kind.
And Loose on the Lead, Seth Merrill and Steve Bick. Steve back in the saddle again now through the remainder of the meet. Oh, good luck this afternoon with Carlisle Bell.
Thanks a lot.
We'll look for you in the winter circle, perhaps. All right. We'll wrap things up for this edition of Loose on the Lead. Thanks again to Mike Welch. Also, Gary Gullo. Reminder, Lustgarten Foundation
starting
Day.
Starting shortly.
Yeah, the autograph starting about 15 minutes up by the Jock Silks Room. Go out and make a donation or just go to the Lustgarten website and donate if you can't make it up here because, again, it's a great cause. Also, the big carryover today with a mandatory jump in. The Empire 6 kicks off in race number 5 today. Low rollers every Thursday and Sunday, so jump in and play the contest. Always a lot of fun.
King of the low rollers.
Right. Yeah, the last couple of weeks I've been getting closer. I had like an 8-to-1 shot that got beaten by that much or I would have been in the money on Thursday. So I'm getting a little closer after whiffing badly the first few weeks. All right, we will wind things up for this edition of Loose on the Lead here every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We'll see you next week.
From the backstretch at Saratoga, this is Loose on the Lead with Steve Bick and Seth Merrill. Loose on the Lead is sponsored by Thoroughgraph, everything you need to win. Visit Thoroughgraph.com. The new Colonial Downs and the Virginia Equine Alliance. Hill and Dale, home of perennial standouts. Curlin, Kitten's Joy, Midnight Luke, and emerging stallions, Violence, Byron, and Army Mule. Visit hillanddalefarms.com for consignments at the 2019 yearling sales. Case Supply, the kitchen and bath professionals across upstate New York. Showrooms in Syracuse, Auburn, and Amsterdam. Make your dream kitchen and bath a reality. Visit casesupplyinc.com. And McMahon of Saratoga, standing breakout stallion central banker. Number one in New York and among the nation's leading young sires. Visit McMahonThoroughbred.com.